Good morning. I'm going to tell you a story. It won't be the story that I tell my own child. It's a bit more serious, but it's a story about fatherhood and commitment and perseverance. And I will start by saying that up until March 3rd, 2002, children were not in my life storyline. I had just finished a PhD at Howard University. I had just landed a plum job at Washington University in St. Louis, one of the best jobs in America, and I was on my way. I was going to write books. I was going to get tenure. I was going to teach my students. I was going to go to South Africa every year, and life was going to be great. House, car, eventually a wife. Great. Perfect. The morning of March 3rd, 2002, I got a phone call interrupting that nice, neat storyline. It was from a woman, a good friend, who one night we decided we wanted to be more than friends, and then the day after we decided, well, no, we really don't want to do any of this, and we said our goodbyes, but then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. I'm going to be a father. And I thought to myself, well, I guess that can work out. Let's see. My own father, let's see, he wasn't around. He unfortunately was addicted to heroin, and he eventually died of AIDS, and he was racked with guilt until he died that he was not there for me. My stepfather was a wonderful man, but he had an interesting model of fatherhood. Fatherhood stopped at 5 o'clock. He brought home the bacon, but he didn't cook it. He decided that despite 5 children being in the house, that at 5 o'clock or somewhere thereafter, it was time to take a shower and put on a very nice silk red robe that he had, break out his pipe, smoke it, sip his beer, and watch the Lakers on TV until my mother got the dinner call to come for dinner. A very economic model of fatherhood. And that was similar to my thinking when I got this news. How hard can this be? I'll be in St. Louis, and the mother of my child will be in North Carolina finishing her studies, and we have planes, and I'll get on that plane twice a month, and I'll write a check once a month, and I'll call twice a week. Fine. Well, as time went on, it became clear that there was more required of me. Fatherhood was not going to be writing a check and getting on a plane and making a phone call every now and again. There were serious health issues involved, and it became clear to me that I needed to be a full-time dad, and I needed to gain custody of my daughter, Tandi. Well, my daughter was here, and I'm in St. Louis, and every lawyer that I talked to said, you can't win. Fathers don't win in the state of Virginia. They don't win these custody cases. When a child is the same sex as her mother, and the child is very young, and you live in St. Louis. Lawyer after lawyer, social worker after social worker told me, in so many words, it can't be done. And by the way, if you're thinking about doing this, do you have a wife? Apparently a mother had to be in the equation. I did not. Every now and again, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 times in our life, we have one of these what I call fork in the road moments, where you go this way, you go that way. And the choice for me was very clear. I could stay in St. Louis in this wonderful job and continue with my storyline of my life, briefly interrupted by writing a check, or I could leave that job, come to Virginia with no job waiting for me here, set up shop, find a job for myself, find a job for the woman who would soon become my wife, and fight this custody battle. And 2 years and $20,000 later in legal fees, we were able to win. So in this way, we upset a gender convention that fathers cannot win custody of their children. I won, and I believe that my daughter won. And my storyline now is so much more complete now because the idea of fatherhood is not economic. It is emotional. and it is about building emotional intimacy with my daughter. She is the best thing I've ever done. And being a father has been a fascinating exercise where every day is different. And there are still moments of gender prejudice that are more humorous than anything for me. There are very few diaper changing stations in men's public restrooms. And going to swim class and gym class, and you strike up conversation, usually with moms, and the question is, well, I need to talk to your wife. We need to set up a play date. Well, you can talk to me. During the custody hearing, there was so much skepticism about why I wanted custody. Surely you want custody because you want to get out of paying child support. Surely you want custody because your mother really wants the child, and you're the vehicle to be able to get this child to your mother. Isn't that right? And there were similar kinds of skepticism after I became a full-time dad. And for some of that time, I was single. My future wife was still in St. Louis. So there were these odd moments where I'd be at the park, and again, folks would be looking for their wife, my wife. And what I began to see, though, over time, were dads everywhere. And I'm not talking about the dads who just wrote a check. I'm talking about the dads who were active in their child's life. I saw it with my uncles. I saw it with my friends. And I could see it all around me as I took my kid to Kidsburg or to the swim meet. There were the dads. And I began to think the courts are way behind. Even though I was granted custody, the skepticism I received from lawyers and social workers and psychologists and the rest said it shouldn't happen, that I was unusual. And yet I was seeing active dads like me all around. And that story should be told. It needs to be told because we get the other story far too often. And so I offer this short testimonial to say there are dads out there doing that work who are full-time and who embrace it, who want to do it, and who realize that you can bring home the bacon and cook it too. Fatherhood doesn't end at 5 p.m. Thank you for listening.